Hey, Women of Strength, it's Megan, your host here at the VBAC Link. I am so excited, as usual, to get into our amazing episode today. But before we do, I wanted to share a review of the week from a member of our amazing community about a prenatal that I talk about often on the podcast. It's by Needed. The review reads, "I love the Needed powder that Megan advertises. Pretty reasonably priced compared to other whole food prenatals and makes me feel great. Also love that they use methylfolate instead of folic acid, which is really important to me. Women of Strength, I couldn't have said it better myself. I personally love and use Needed and recommend them to all of my VBAC and non-VBAC clients. We asked Needed for a discount code and are grateful they support VBAC moments as much as we do. Please enjoy 20% off your first purchase at thisisneeded.com. Use code VBAC20. Again, head over to thisisneeded.com and get 20% off with code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com, code VBAC20. Hello, Women of Strength. If you have ever wondered if a breech vaginal birth or breech VBAC is possible, let me just tell you right now, the answer is yes. And our friend Lauren today is going to share her story to confirm that it is 100% possible. Obviously, we do have some breech VBAC stories on the podcast, but they're few and far between. And I mean, Lauren, when you were going through it, did you hear a lot of breech births just in general, let alone VBAC? Did you hear a lot of people having those?
No, I had heard a few on the VBAC link, but that was really it.
That was so
I did a lot of research.
Yes. And it's so unfortunate. And so she actually, so this story is like a double VBAC story, but also a breech VBAC, which we know a lot of people seek the stories for this, because as she just said, there's not a lot of support out there when it comes to breech birth in general. We have a client right now that was just told that her baby was breech, and they've already said, like, we're going to try to flip this baby, but if not, it's a C-section. Like, they haven't even, like, talked about a vaginal birth being an option. And it makes my heart so sad. So I'm really, really excited to get into your episode. And you were in Alabama. Is that correct? Alabama?
I am.
Awesome. So any Alabama mamas, listen up. Especially if you have a breech VBAC, but if VBAC in general, if someone's willing to support a breech VBAC, I'm going to guess that they're pretty supportive in VBAC in general. Okay. So we do have a review of the week. So we'll get into that. And this is by, says Sarah in Alaska, says HBA2C attempt, says, thank you. Thank you. Your podcast came to me at such an amazing time. You ladies are doing something amazing here. I'm planning on, and then in parentheses, she says, I'm going to have an HVAC after 2 C-section in February. Look forward to listening to your podcast on repeat to fuel my confidence, ability, and knowledge. Sarah in Alaska, this has been just a minute. So if you had your VBAC, or just in general, if you're still listening, let us know how things went. And congratulations, late congratulations, because this is a couple years ago. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, everybody. Lauren, thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So, okay, obviously every VBAC journey starts with a C-section. So if we want to start right there.
Yeah. So my first son about 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago, was born by C-section. He was also breech.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I used bleach through the entire pregnancy. We had talked to my doctor about the doing the version, but at 36 weeks, my water broke.
Okay.
And so once your water breaks, you can't attempt a version. I went to the hospital and they said that it would have to be a C-section at that point. I really didn't have the knowledge that I do now. And basically it was worded as I don't have an option, and that's just it. So that's what we did.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it's so common, right? And even with non-breech, it's there's so many times when we come into our birth experience and we are left felt like we don't have an option.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to know, right? And obviously that's why we created this podcast. So we want you to know all your options. So, and then talking about flipping a baby or doing an ECV after your water broke, that is something I've only seen one time in 10 years of practicing. So most providers will be like, nope, won't even attempt it. I was actually floored when my client was actually offered that. So obviously it's a more difficult experience, and it can be stressful on the baby as well. So there's that to consider, but she ended up trying it. He tried twice and it didn't happen. And then they ended up going into the OR. So, okay. So baby breech, do you know why baby was breech? Did they say anything about uterus or any abnormalities there?
No, they said, sometimes it just happens. They knew how badly I wanted to have a vaginal birth. And they said, you know, you're an excellent candidate for a VBAC. So I was like, okay, great. So I held on to that.
Awesome.
And that's when I really took a deep dive into birth in general. Cause I was like, the stuff that they were saying just didn't sound right to me. So.
Right. So they said you were a candidate. So where did your VBAC journey start? As you were diving in, how did that begin? Did you do that before pregnancy or after you fell pregnant?
Before pregnancy. Probably by the time I came home from the hospital with my son, I was already researching.
Baby's just a couple days old and you're like, and let's figure this out. Listen, I get that. That's exactly how I was too. And like becoming a doula, I was like, literally 2 days after I had my C-section, I became a doula. Like I signed up to become a doula. Okay. So you started diving in, and what did you find?
Started finding, it was just very shocking to me how really birth is just, most providers don't practice evidence-based. I found out the difference in evidence-based versus standard of care. And I was shocked about that too. Just like, how can you do that? You know, as a doctor, and you've got all this evidence here and just, but another doctor's practicing this way. So it's okay for you to do that.
Right. It becomes the norm, right? Or it has become the norm. Yeah. Okay. So you get pregnant, you know, VBAC's possible.
Yeah.
Tell us that VBAC story.
So that was just it was a wonderful experience, but part of my research, I joined ICANN, and I wanted the most VBAC supportive provider out there. So I did switch providers, and I switched even before I was pregnant. Right when we were trying, I was like, I need to go ahead and get in with a provider that's supportive.
Yeah.
I found a wonderful provider, and the pregnancy was great. I did all the things. I sat on the birth ball instead of on the couches. I made sure to take walks every day, kept up with my chiropractor care. All of that was just tips that I had seen. So I did that. She was head down by 20 weeks.
Yay.
Yeah, so I was super excited by that. And she waited until 40 plus 3, which was also a big thing for me because my first son, they took him to the NICU because he was premature. Yeah, so I did not want NICU. NICU was a horrible experience. And so I was like, please, please, please hold on till 37 weeks. 40 would be great. But she did. She held on till 40, and she, it was funny too. It was like a switch flipped at that point. I was like, okay, now I want to get her out. And so
Yes.
eating the spicy food, everything to try to get labor started. But 40 and 3, my water broke with her as well before labor started. I panicked a little bit because I didn't want to be on a clock. Although I felt that I was with a good provider, I still hadn't birthed with her yet. And I've heard stories about people having this doctor that tells them everything they want to hear, and then they get in the birth room and it's completely
A
different.
bait and switch. Yeah.
Yes,
It's so
yes.
hard because they talk about how we have to have this proven pelvis,
Yeah.
and to like be considered like the best candidate or to have like full faith in our ability. But at the same time, I feel like sometimes from us, like as a patient standpoint, like they need to prove to us, right? They need to prove to us
Right.
that they're supportive. Full
Yes, for
on
sure.
throughout, yeah.
For sure. About pretty quickly after my water broke, I started pumping,
Okay.
and while I was pumping, the contraction started. So I felt so much better. I was like, okay, good, because now we got contractions going. I had a doula at that point as well, because I felt like having a doula was going to be extremely important for VBAC. So I called her and let her know, and she came over and she just hung out a little bit. We did a henna on my belly, and we just talked and talked through some fears and excitement, stuff like that. And then she said, well, I'm gonna go get my stuff. Why don't you lay down, take a nap, and see if we can, and when once things pick up, we can go to the hospital. I was like, that sounds great. And this was my first time experiencing labor, because with my son, even though my water broke, I never had contractions.
Right.
They just went straight to C-section. So I went upstairs and I laid down on my left side, and within a minute, I was just like, whoa, these feel totally different. This is crazy. And so probably within 30 minutes or so, I was having contractions every 2 to 3 minutes. And I was
Whoa.
like, yes. And I was just like, this just picked up really fast. And I said, this is like, I think I was supposed to already go in by now. And
Were they
so,
intense as well on top of being close, or were they not as intense but just close?
in hindsight, they were not intense.
Okay.
But it was my first time having labor. They were more intense in the beginning contractions.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
okay, these are more intense. These are close together. I gotta go now. So I was panicking. So
Yes.
we made it to the hospital, and they checked me, and I was 2 centimeters. And I was
Hey.
like, you've got to be kidding
Yes. Well, and
me.
that's the hardest thing. We're so focused on this time because we're told, like, if they're this close together, it's time to come in, right? But
Yes.
then we sometimes forget about the other factors of intensity and length
Yeah.
and what's the word I'm looking for? I was gonna say continuous, but like they're that pattern always. Like they're
Right.
sticking to that pattern. They're consistent, I guess is really, yeah, they're
Yeah,
consistent.
yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so you're 2 centimeters, which is great, by the
Yes.
way. Still great.
Yes. Oh, and I have forgotten to mention too, another thing that I was like, okay, I feel like I probably am with a good provider. I did call her after my water broke, and she said, well, what are your plans? And I just said, well, I'd like to stay home as long as possible, and contractions haven't started yet, but I'm going to try to start pumping, get them started. And I said, I'd like to wait until tomorrow morning to come in if nothing has started. And she's like, okay, sounds like a good plan. Just let me know what you need. And I was like, wow.
I
So
just
she's
love that
already letting
she,
me go past the 24 hours.
yeah, I just love that she's like started out like, what's your plan?
Yes.
Versus like,
Yeah.
this is what you have to do now.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. She's wonderful, and you'll see through the story how amazing she is too. But anyway, so we get to the hospital, and I actually started out with a wonderful nurse. The hospital policy is continuous monitoring. But I did not want to. But I did not want that. And I was so lucky because the nurse that started, she was about to leave. Her shift was about to end, but she let me start on intermittent monitoring. So I was able to get up, walk around, get on the birth ball, you know, just to help get things moving. And shortly after that, she left, and the next nurse was not so nice about it. She told me, it's our policy, you know, yada, yada. And I said, look, I've been doing the intermittent. I'm fine with the intermittent. That's what I'm going to stick with. And she's like, well, you're going to have to sign a form. And I said, bring it on.
Yeah.
So I signed the form, and, you know, I was just like, that's fine. I have no problem signing a form to say this is my choice. And then we labored in the hospital room for several hours. My doula suggested I got in the shower at one point, and that was amazing. It was, I would almost say, euphoric. It felt so good to get in the hot shower. And I was progressing slightly more than a centimeter an hour, which I know is kind of like what they look for. So things just progressed pretty slowly. And then that night at around, so once I hit 6 centimeters, my body started pushing.
Oh, yes.
And I was terrified when I found out I was only 6 centimeters, because they kept saying, like, you need to stop pushing or you're going to go to the ER. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm not pushing. Like, my body's doing this. So yeah. It was like several hours of working with my doula to try to stop my body from pushing every time I had a contraction that were still going every 2 minutes.
Did they give you any tips on how to cope through that or avoid pushing, like horse lips or anything like that?
The thing that worked best for me was opening my mouth and just like saying like,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that helped a lot. But I would still say about 50% of the time, I could not stop the pushes.
Yeah.
But I still remember that nurse saying, which was not helpful at all, are you pushing? Because that's the quickest way to the OR.
Not very kind. You're like, I'm trying not to. Can you see what I'm doing here?
Yeah. And then my doctor came in around, I want to say it was around 11 that night, to check me. And she said, oh, you're complete. And I just remember being like, thank God. And I said, does that mean I can push now? And they're like, yes. And I was like, oh, gosh. That was like the best thing I could had heard, because that was all I wanted to do was push. So I was already in the bed because they had me on the monitor at that point, and I was on my back. So they just leaned the bed back. I didn't really want to push on my back, but at that point I was like, I'm not moving. I'm just going to push how I am. So I pushed. It took about 20 minutes and she just slowly came out, and it was, I'm going to get emotional. It was wonderful. My doula was also my birth photographer. She got some pictures.
Oh.
And she got a picture of my husband. It's really sweet. And I hope he's okay with me telling this, but she got a picture of him like crying. And it was when she was almost out, and I asked him about it. And he said, you know, I knew at that point you were going to do it. I knew how important it was to you. Sorry.
I'm sure he had that overwhelming flood of emotions. Like, I know this is important and I can see it. Like, she's there. Yeah. She's going to do this.
Yes. And it was wonderful too. And then I got to hold her on my chest for a while, but they weren't too thrilled with her breathing. So they never took her out of the room, but they did take her over to the table and they were suctioning her and stuff like that. And I started feeling a little panicky, because with my son, what happened was they just, after my C-section, after a while, they showed him to me. I got to kiss him and touch him and all that. But then they started leaving the room with him. And I was like, whoa, where are you going? And they're like, oh, we've got to take him to NICU because he's having trouble breathing. But nobody told me anything. They just started leaving with him.
Oh.
So I was panicking, thinking that was going to happen with my daughter. And I was like, please, 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 just give her to me. All she needs is me. She's going to be fine. Just give her to me. And the nurse was just like, no, she needs suction, or, just kind of like, we need to do our job. But my doctor was so wonderful. She just came over and she's like, so what they're doing right now is they're suctioning her because they're not happy with her oxygen level. And then she sat there and she told me, okay, now she's at 94.1. Now she's at 94.2. Now she's at 93.3. So every time the thing went up, she would tell me. She was just so calm. And so it was like she got me. She understood,
Yeah, she
what I was
understood
going
what you
through.
needed in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing too, which I thought was really interesting, is that first off, she did ask before she did anything. And we got half of my daughter's head out, but it got a little, she got a little stuck. And so the doctor was like, we really kind of want to get her out. And she said, I think the vacuum might help, or, are you okay with me manually helping you? And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, I could just kind of insert my fingers and tilt her chin. I think that'll get her out. And I said, yeah, let's do that one. So she did. She kind of went in and just popped her little chin, and then she came out. So,
Awesome.
but it was nice to be asked instead of told what
Yeah.
needed to
Or
be
not
done.
even told and just this
Yeah,
get
just
done.
do it. Yes,
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot, and it was crazy because that actually was going to happen with my first son. Before the nurses knew I was breech, they came in and they were about to put medicine in my IV, and I said, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, this is Pitocin. We need to get your contraction started. And I was like, no, I don't want Pitocin. And she's like, well,
Yeah.
you have to birth him within 24 hours or he's going to be a C-section. So I was like,
You're
well,
like, well, I aren't I
yeah.
C-section?
So it was just crazy, the difference in being told what was going to happen and being asked for not only my opinion, but my consent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So important.
Yeah.
And women of strength, if you are listening to this, like, please, 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 I beg of you to help you know. I don't know how we can let you know even more, but you guys have the power and to say no. And consent is so important. Your consent is so important. If anything, anything, just like what Lauren said, like even just giving Pitocin drips. I mean, anything, if anything is happening to your body, you one have the right to say no. You always can question. You can pause and say, tell me all the risks here or whatever. You don't just have to have it be done to you. You do not have to.
Yes.
And it's hard to say no in that moment.
It is.
It's hard to
It
say no, especially when they're coming in and like making it sound like it's something you need. Well, whether it's
Yes.
something you need or not, you still deserve to have consent.
Yes, exactly. And then they throw that at you where it's like, oh, the baby would be in
Oh,
danger. You don't do this. And you're
yes.
like, if you're not knowledgeable, then you're just gonna be like, well, okay then,
Okay.
because I don't want my baby to be in danger.
Exactly. Of course we don't. Like, duh. That's just, of course we do not want our baby in danger. But most of the time, really, is our baby in danger if we're not starting Pitocin right away? Or, you know what I mean? Like, probably not. Yeah. So, awesome. So you had this beautiful vaginal birth with support. A way different experience with like good, true, informed consent, even to the postpartum period, which should keep continuing anytime you're under care with anyone like this, no matter in hospital, out of hospital, this kind of consent should continue.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. And then baby number three, cute little baby
Yes.
that I don't know if I am allowed to say his name, so I won't, but.
Oh yeah, you're fine.
I was gonna say cute
We
Ollie,
call him
who
Ollie.
just got to see on the recording just before we got started. He was another breechy.
Yes, he was. So I was just like, oh my goodness. But his pregnancy was so similar to my first son. It was a little freaky. I had a lot of anxiety work through because of that, because I was like, oh, this can't happen
Triggering.
again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was breech the entire time, basically stayed in the same position. He'd move his little head around, but that was about it. And I will say, this time, I was, I guess, a little more, I don't know if cocky is the right word, but confident that everything would be fine. A little more lazy. I didn't do as many walks as I should have. Sat on the couch a little more than the birth ball, you know, things like that. And I was like, oh, it'll be fine. So about 20 weeks when he was still breech, I was like, okay, maybe it won't be fine. Maybe I need to, you know, get this going. So kind of started trying to do a little more of that stuff. Oh, and also my doula had moved out of state. So I was like, oh no.
Dang it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I knew how important, like, having a doula was definitely important for me. So I started the search for a new doula, which ended up turning out great. I loved both doulas, so I was very pleased, but I was nervous, you know. But yeah, I found my doula while I was pregnant. And then I just had so much anxiety about my first son's birth that I needed.
I'm going to take a quick break from our episode and continue talking about our favorite prenatal line, Needed. Needed was created by two mothers and trained nutritionists who knew a better way of nurturing our bodies was needed. Nutrition is so important and has the power to change outcomes for both mamas and babies during conception, pregnancy, and beyond. They found that 95% of women in the prenatal stages have nutrient deficiencies. Most prenatal vitamins include the bare minimum nutrition based on outdated guidelines and stale research. Needed is different. They have done years of research to find out what we really need during our journeys and have done exactly that. Their products are third-party tested, backed by clinical insights from over 4,000 practitioners, and they are so thoughtful about every ingredient, using exactly what's needed in the bioavailable forms. And this is important because you and your baby deserve the best. Don't be one of the 95% of women who are not getting what they truly need in a prenatal vitamin. Consider taking or even switching to Needed and feel confident that you will be receiving radically better nutrition. As I mentioned earlier, we asked Needed for a discount code and are grateful they support our VBAC mamas as much as we do. Please enjoy 20% off your first purchase at thisisneeded.com with code VBAC20. Again, that is thisisneeded.com to get 20% off with code VBAC20.
I needed a plan ahead of time, basically. So I talked to my doctor about it, and I went in there just kind of nervous to even bring it up, you know. But I said, so he's still breech. I know that he's got plenty of time to turn. But I am nervous because I have a history of this. My first son was breech and I had to have a C-section. And I said, what are your thoughts on a breech vaginal? And she goes, well, I don't see why we couldn't. And I was like, what?
You're like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, she's like, you know, you've had a VBAC, you did fine. You know, she's like, there, he can't be like sideways, you know, he's got to be, you know, to where he can actually come out breech. She's like, it's just something that we'll talk about. And she did mention ECV as well. And she's like, we've got a long way, but yeah, I don't have a problem doing a breech VBAC with you. And so I immediately just felt so much relief.
I bet.
Yes. So we just kind of went along the pregnancy like that. And then at 37 and 3, at 5 o'clock in the morning, my water broke.
three for three water breaking. You and I, they say 10%, but when you're 3 for 3, you're like,
That's what I was saying. And then the breech stuff is, you know, only 3 to 4% are breech. And I had it twice.
Yep.
It's like, how is this possible? But, yeah, the water broke around 5 a.m. and me running to the bathroom woke my son up, and he came in and it was real sweet. He got in bed with me and we just kind of cuddled for about an hour, and I talked to him about how his baby brother was going to come today, and it was just a real nice moment being able to cuddle, you know, with him.
Oh yeah, those moments are so precious because you're like, these are those last moments of just us as a family of four. Now we're adding a fifth, and these last little moments together without little siblings, you know.
Yes. So that was, it was just so sweet. I'll always remember that. And so we did that. We cuddled for about an hour, and then the contractions actually started without me having a pump. So, and this time I was gonna wait a little bit longer before pumping because I wondered if the contractions every 2 hours with my daughter for the whole labor was maybe because of the pumping. Because the having the contractions that close were, it made things really difficult.
Oh yeah, not a lot of a break. Every 2 minutes, there's not a ton of a break, especially if they're a minute, eventually when they were a minute long, like there's not a lot there. Yeah.
No. So I was like, well, maybe that'll change. I knew I could handle it, but I was like, if I don't have to, that would be great. So they started pretty slow, about 6 minutes apart or so, really gentle. At around six, I went ahead and woke my husband up and let him know, called my parents. I had texted my doula, but I went ahead and called her just to let her know as well. Called my doctor. She, again, just kind of asked me, well, what are your plans? And I just said, you know, just stay here to let things pick up and then head to the hospital. And she was like, okay, that sounds good. And so I just kind of labored at home. My parents live about 2 hours away, but they were coming to get our older two kids. And so I was going to try to pack the hospital bag because I had not done that yet.
Well, 37 weeks.
That was the plan for that weekend. But I kept having to sit down because of the contraction. So my husband was like, well, let me do it. You just tell me what I need, what you need. So I was just, you know, giving him the instructions and I just bounced on the birth ball. And we got all that done. My parents showed up. They brought me a big smoothie because I had asked, because I was like, I want to eat, but I don't want to chew. So get me a smoothie. And so that was really nice just to have something on my stomach, but not, and give me some energy and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they got here at around 9:30. And so, around almost, it was almost 11. I was like, these contractions are starting to feel real. And I had a point of reference finally at that point.
Yeah. Like more intense and frequent and strong. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, but I will say by 7:30 again, 7:30 that morning, I was back at two minutes apart.
Oh man. So it's just something your body does.
That's just me. Yeah. But they weren't intense. And this time I knew. I was like, okay, well, I know this is not intense. I'm still able to talk through them. I'm able to recover very well. But then, right around 11, I was like, things are getting really intense now. So I think we need to go. So I left, we left for the hospital and let my doula know. And I called my doctor as well. And it was really wonderful talking to her too, because she just said, you know, just when you go in there, make sure you're confident. Tell them this is the plan. You're going to do a breech VBAC, that we've already discussed this, you know, because I think she was worried too. Because the hospital, I will say, I do not feel was supportive. I think it was mainly they were scared. And I think she knew that too. But having her in my corner was, you know, what I needed.
Yeah, very huge.
So we got to the hospital. And she had gone ahead and called them to direct admit me, so I didn't have to do triage and all that. And so that was made it so much quicker. We got there probably around 11:40 or so, and we were already in our room, and the doctor was coming in by 12. So she came in and she checked me, and she was like, all right, you're already at about a 5 or 6, so you're doing great. She's like, I'll be in the hospital for a while, so they'll just call me, you know, when you need me, just do your thing. I was like, all right, well, here we go. And so I did get in the bed for a little while so they could do, like, the IVs and stuff like that. And I told them I want the wireless monitor, which they were having trouble working, but they still never made me do any monitors because I told them I can't do continuous unless it's wireless because I need to be able to move. And they didn't argue with that. So that was nice. And once I got all that done, I got on the birth ball. We played some music that I had pre-planned and just kind of my doula and my husband both helped me work through the contractions. And then it was 12:58, which was less than an hour. My body started pushing again. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, I can't do this. And so they called the nurse in because I was like,
last time this happened is 6 centimeters. Yeah. Please don't tell me.
Yeah. So they came to check and she was like, oh my gosh, she's complete and he's right there. And I was like,
yay.
Yes. So they called my doctor and I was panicking a little bit just because she wasn't there. She was in the hospital, but because she wasn't in my room, I was like, I went from a 5 to complete in less than an hour. I'm like, is this baby just going to shoot out of me? So I was like, I need her to be here. But anyway, she got there very quickly. And this time I knew I didn't want to be on my back. So they had me just try some different positions, but I really liked being facing like the back of the bed. The bed like was set up and I faced the back and kind of like leaned over it so that I was upright. But then I was able to like move my pelvis around and just kind of find a comfortable position. So I really liked that. And I started pushing because I could. So he just very, very slowly came out and my doula was recording because I had wanted a, this is my, because I wanted to a recording my last birth, but I was just too out of it to even ask for it. So I had asked my husband and doula know ahead of time, you know, that I wanted to. So my doula took care of that. And she started recording it. Yeah. and then I was pushing and I remember this one hurt a lot more than my daughter. And I think they stretch you bigger when you're
differently.
Yeah. So I was just like, I remember being a couple times being like, oh my gosh, this hurts. And you know, and he was just slowly coming out, but I couldn't see what was going on.
Yeah.
That was the other thing with my daughter. They had rolled out a mirror so I could kind of see what was going on. And I was just kind of, I felt like I was pushing blind. And then I didn't ask him to, but my husband just kind of stepped in and he was like, okay, I see a leg now. And oh, there goes the other leg. And, you know, he started just telling me body parts. And then I was like able to get a visual and I was like, oh, that's so helpful.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. To be able to kind of know how much was coming out. When it got to his chest, it felt like my body was just kind of like, okay, we're done. And the contractions just kind of stopped. And I was like, what's going on? They were coming so fast and now they're just kind of, you know, chilling out or whatever. Uh-huh. And they were like, it's fine, you know, just, we'll just wait till the next contraction. And they did start coming back, but it was just, it didn't feel as strong and it felt slower. So I don't know what that was about. It could just be my perception too.
Yeah.
But it's he came all the way out up to his neck. And then he wasn't really coming much further after he got to his neck. The doctor was kind of turning him because he had the cord wrapped around his neck twice. Yeah, and then he just didn't seem to be moving like he was supposed to. And she said, I need to kind of check and see if his head is flexed. And it was not. So she had to put both hands inside to flex his head so that it was in the correct position. And she had turned him over, you know, to try to get some of the cord off as well. And it got a little intense there. for a minute, she said, okay, I need you to get on your hands and knees. So I did that. And that wasn't working. And she said, okay, Mama, can we get you to flip over? You know, it's, I just need a different angle to get him out. And so I flipped over on my back, which I was completely fine with at that point, because I knew I wasn't panicked. And I had a little bit of anxiety and fear, but I wasn't like really scared, because my doctor seemed so confident and that, you know, she's got this. We just need to do something a little different to get him out.
Yeah.
And so we flipped him on back, and she got his head exactly where it needed to be. And I did two more pushes and he came out, but he had gotten stuck longer than they wanted him to. So she said, we're going to go ahead and cut the cord and get him to nursery. The nursery team was coming in because they needed to resuscitate him. Just from the
He's
time
probably
that he was
shocked.
Pushed. Yeah. Yeah. Which she did say too. She said, you know, he's going to be okay. He tried to give us a little cry, but he needs help. And I said, okay. So I felt good at that point. I knew that if he was trying to cry, you know, that, yeah, that he was still conscious. But the NICU team, so it was charted wrong how long he was stuck. And I think they kind of panicked a little bit. Because they just went and they intubated immediately. And yeah, and they said, okay, we need to get him to the NICU. And I said, I hadn't even touched him at that point. And I said, well, can I touch him or kiss him or, you know, just talk to him, whatever, before you take him? And I asked my doctor that. And so she was like, yeah, can you bring him over here so she can just give him a little pat before you take him or whatever?
Yeah.
And the nurse just looked over and she goes, she can see him from where she's at.
Oh. And left with him. Oh. Oh boy.
Yeah. And to me, it did feel like a punishment for doing a breach.
Doing a breach. Yep.
And they went back and looked, and they charted that he was stuck for 5 minutes. Mm. We had a video, and he was stuck for 1 minute and 40 seconds. Huge difference.
Very big.
Why they went immediately to what they would do with a baby who'd been stuck for 5 minutes. They charted him his Apgar at 0, but my doctor said that can't be, because he whimpered when he came out, so he's got to at least have something. So it was all just a big overreaction at that point. And they were supposed to monitor him for 4 hours to make a decision, and they immediately just made the decision to admit him to NICU, which meant he was stuck in NICU for at least 3 days. And then within, like, when I went to go see him, it was within 2 hours. They had already extubated him. He was breathing on his own. No problems whatsoever.
He was fine.
He was fine. And then the next morning, my doctor went and talked to the doctors.
The pediatricians?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the NICU, just kind of let them know, okay, this is wrong in the chart. This is wrong in the chart. Educating them about breach, VBAC. She also did talk to them about the behavior of the nurse. She said it was unacceptable is what she said. So they talked about that. Oh, because that same nurse, when I finally got up to the NICU to see him, she had her back turned and she didn't see me coming. And she goes, I heard her talking. She goes, well, you know, he came out the wrong way. Then she realized that I was behind her and she just kind of walked away. But I never saw her after that. So
she probably was avoiding you.
I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this just happened.
Seriously. Obviously, she's got some chip on her shoulder for people that are doing things that are actually normal, just a different variation.
Right.
Ugh.
But after my doctor talked to him that morning, as soon as she left, they called me and they were like, well, they weren't going to let me breastfeed or hold him or any of that because he had a central line in his umbilical cord. And they were like, oh, it's too risky. It'll fall out. You know, it can fall out. But as soon as she left, they were like, we're going to actually go ahead and let you try to latch and hold him. We'll just have to be really careful. And I was like, okay.
Good for your doctor for advocating for you guys.
Yeah. I that was one of my things that I just really love about her. That's not, you know, something that she had to do. She took the time out to review everything that night. It was a sat, you know, I had him on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So she reviewed everything that night, got up early the next morning, went to the NICU, advocated for me. And it was, I'll just never forget her for that. She's like my angel.
Yeah. No, that's how it should be. It's really how it should be. And are you willing to share her name for anyone that's looking for VBAC support, yeah, or especially Breach?
Sure. Her name is Dr. Robinson, and she's Alabama Women's Wellness Center in Huntsville, Alabama.
Awesome.
So, yes. And so it's really hard to find a VBAC supportive provider in Alabama, but Breach VBAC? I know it's like almost unheard of anywhere, so...
And I have Alabama Women's Wellness Center, like on our Alabama, because, you know, we have our supportive provider list that we're just working on right now to perfect so everybody can get access to that in a better way. And we don't have her on there, so I'll make sure to add her.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. That's
awesome.
Probably an understatement, but...
She sounds absolutely incredible, and I am just so happy for you. I'm so glad that you had that the advocate through a provider, and that you had, you know, it sounds like the second time it was a little bit more of that informed consent, truly wanting to like incorporate you into this experience.
Yes.
With a little less of that the second time, but holy cow, like amazing. A minute and 40 seconds, is that what you said? Like, that might feel like an eternity to someone watching, but really that's actually pretty quick, and your provider knew, okay, let's change positions, let's move, let's get this going, and baby's out. So, and it can be common for babies to come out a little stunned, breech or not breech, right? Sometimes they can just come out a little stunned, and you also had a really fast transition. So you went from 5 to a 10 really fast. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she said that they charted from the time that his butt came out is what they told her. And with a breech, you're supposed to chart once the shoulders are out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To the neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. They just got that mixed up. Yeah. Oh, well, I wanted to go over the different types of breech, and you already said this earlier, like, it's kind of crazy that 3 to 4% of people will have a full term breech. And I know baby number one was 36 weeks, but pretty much right there, right around the corner, a full term. But 3 to 4%, and you've had two. So it's pretty low, but we know that breech is happening. It's just not being supported. So I wanted to talk about a couple of different things. There's different types of breech, and that is something that I think it's important to know. So we've got frank breech, and that's where the baby's butt is down into the vaginal canal, or down, just down, and the legs are sticking right up where the baby's feet are in front. Do you know if your baby was frank breech?
Yeah, they were both frank.
Okay, yeah. So that's typically where a provider is like, if they're supportive, we'll allow, you know, a vaginal birth. And then complete breech is where the butt is down and both hips and knees are flexed. Footling is where one or sometimes both, it's like they're either standing inside or they're like being a flamingo and doing like a one-foot thing facing down. Or then we know that there's transverse where the baby is sideways. And footling and transverse, definitely, I mean, transverse for sure cannot come out vaginal. Footling, there are some more concerns. And so most providers will not support that. So anyway, my overall suggestion is if you have a breech, one, know the options to try and help rotate a baby, you know, if you so choose, there are also risks to ECVs, right? So we have a blog about ECV, and we're going to make sure it's in the show notes, and then we're going to link some more about breech babies as well. But know that you have options. You do have options. It's not like Lauren's first, where she walked in and was felt that she was stripped away of all of the options. But if you're looking for a VBAC supportive provider, something that I always tell my clients, and I need to suggest that more here on the podcast, is while you're asking questions like, are you, you know, how do you support VBAC and whatever, all those questions that we talk about, right? One of those is, what if my baby's breech? What does that look like? I think that's a really great question to add in there, because then you can know, like, okay, not only is this provider VBAC supportive, but they're even breech supportive, because we never know. Sometimes babies just flip, and sometimes they flip in the very end. It's very, like, very rare, but it happens.
Yeah.
So it's just really important to know. So add that to your list of questions as you're going through and asking about, you know, support for VBAC, how they are for VBAC or for breech. Do you have any other things that you would suggest in someone that may be going to have or deciding to have a breech birth in general?
Just try to be, you know, as knowledgeable as you can about it, because that gave me a lot of peace. Just knowing all the facts and just the knowledge made me feel a lot more comfortable with it all.
Absolutely. It sounds like you did. I mean, you just, you know, told me a stat just barely. So it sounds like you're very confident and you know about breech. So I would suggest the same thing, like, know the pros and the cons of both ECV, breech, cesarean, or I should say all three, and cesarean, right? Like, let's learn all of them. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today and sharing all of your beautiful birth stories and letting me meet your sweet Ollie via Zoom, and, you know, sharing these stories to empower other women of strength to make the best choice for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really appreciate it. I was very excited when you asked me to come on.
Oh my gosh. Well, so happy to have you.
Thank you.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.